Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today on Midday, it's Midday on personal finance. The stock market has rebounded in a big way since its low at the beginning of the pandemic last year. Should COVID affect investing strategies and how we manage our money? The IRS has moved the deadline for filing our taxes to Monday. If you're one of the millions of Americans who received unemployment benefits or government subsidies for your business, what do you need to keep in mind when you file your federal and state returns? My guests today are Nick Abrams, a certified financial advisor with AJW Financial Partners, and Leah Abrams, a certified public accountant and the founder of L. Abrams & Company. They join me to answer your questions about managing your money and securing your financial future. After the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad that you're with us. Public health officials are no longer confident that we will reach herd immunity against the coronavirus, but state data here in Maryland indicates that the hesitancy gap between Black, Latinx, and white people has narrowed considerably. The slowdown in vaccination rates recently is a particular challenge in rural counties, but despite that, as a public health issue, the coronavirus crisis is showing strong signs of abating. In Maryland, 5.3 million people are now at least partially vaccinated, and our statewide positivity rate is below 3% for the first time in 6 months. This is causing a lot of folks to be very optimistic about the economy moving forward, although the economic impact of the COVID crisis remains significant. More than 8 million people still out of work across the country. The most recent jobs report showed considerably fewer jobs added than had been expected. Even before the pandemic, the Federal Reserve reported that 40% of Americans don't have enough savings to cover an unexpected expense of $400. But economists are hopeful that a recovery is on the way, due in part to congressional stimulus packages and a loosening of COVID-related restrictions. For the super rich, the pandemic has meant profits. The Institute for Policy Studies estimates that 651 American billionaires added $106 trillion of wealth to their portfolios in the first 9 months of the coronavirus crisis. That wealth has largely been animated by a stock market that came roaring back after dropping precipitously in the early months of the pandemic last year. The S&P index grew an astonishing 68% from March of 2020 to March of 2021. So what does that mean for individual investors who are saving for retirement and education expenses, maybe a new house or other big-ticket items? Does COVID present savings and investment opportunities for small investors as it has for wealthy investors? What changes in the tax code are important to keep in mind this year? So today on Midday, it's Midday on Personal Finance. My guests are a married couple who each head their own company that specializes in investing and tax preparation. Nicholas Abrams is a certified financial planner and the founder of AJW Financial Partners. Leah Abrams is a certified public accountant who heads L. Abrams & Company. They are with us for the hour today to answer your questions about investing, about taxes, about money management. You are welcome to join our conversation with Nick and Leah Abrams, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet your question or your comment at @MiddayWYPR. Nick Abrams, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be back.
And Leah Abrams, welcome to you as well. I'm glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So, Leah, let me start with you. Give us a little primer on taxes. The deadlines for filing taxes have changed. It's usually April 15th, but what are the federal and state deadlines now?
So the federal deadline is May 17th, which is coming up. And the Comptroller of Maryland's deadline is I think it's close to the June time frame, June 30th.
The end of June, yeah. So you do have a little bit more time on the Maryland than on the federal deadline. And I guess the reason that the feds moved the deadline from April 15th to May 17th, which is next Monday, was COVID related? I mean, is it that the government was behind, or did they assume that people were going to be behind because of the pandemic? Do you know?
They assumed both, right? The people were going to be behind, and also businesses were going to be behind with regards to some of the passive income type of entities. So a lot of those restrictions, or at least the deadlines, have been extended just for purposes of making sure that the information is being accounted for appropriately, and that they're able to file their taxes, with the information that's needed to secure their financial status.
For the clients that you have, for whom you've already filed returns, who are owed a refund, what kind of time frame are you experiencing? How long is it taking the IRS to process and issue the refunds?
Actually, it's taken the IRS, in some instances, it's taken them not a lot long time, but in some instances, it's taken quite a bit. I think I've processed the client's refund, their e-file, I guess about 4 weeks ago. And they actually sent me an email stating, when am I supposed to get my refund? And it's not even just about the person that's getting the direct deposit. The checks are always going to be delayed, take a long time for processing, but even the direct deposit is taking a long time to process. There's not enough people at the IRS. It's the stringent times because of COVID have reduced the amount of availability of the employees. So it's taken a long time to process, even for direct deposit. Those have received direct deposit.
Yeah, and President Biden has, proposed upping the budget for the IRS. He says to go after folks who are cheating and who are, not paying what they owe. And Nick Abrams, when it comes to money overall, Americans appear to be saving a lot more than usual during the pandemic. I mean, if people are looking for bright sides to this this horrible ordeal, perhaps that's one of them. Are you finding a lot of clients that are having, more cash than they're used to having, and more opportunities to invest? Because, I guess the theory is that people aren't spending money on some of the stuff they're used to spending money on. Therefore, they have more cash on hand. What's been your experience?
So, Tom, sort of exactly what you just said. A lot of people, we were in quarantine and stuck at home for a number of months. So those people who were fortunate enough to still maintain their jobs and maintain the same income level that they had pre-COVID, we saw a lot of people having disposable cash and able to save that money because they weren't able to spend it. Then we also saw some people who were sitting at home and started looking around the house and realizing that they wanted to make changes to their home because they were going to be there for a while. So the spending that we did see from clients was a lot in the home improvement area, making changes or improvements to their home. But overall, people were saving more. And as you said earlier, once we got through the drop in the stock market in March of 2020, we started to see more people taking some of that money and putting it into investments.
Yeah. And of course, it's interesting because the whole supply and demand thing is playing out in very real time. The people who are doing these home improvements, the new kitchen, the new bedroom, the new office, so people can work at home, those projects are considerably more expensive than they used to be. The price of lumber is way up.
Yes.
I had a contractor tell me that a sheet of plywood that used to sell for $7 is now selling for $42.
Wow.
You know, it's just an incredible inflationary pressure on building supplies. Nick Abrams is here. Leah Abrams is here as well. We're talking money management. We're talking investment. We're talking taxes today on Midday on Personal Finance. You're welcome to join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org, and to tweet us, it's @MiddayWYPR. So, Nick, you mentioned that people are doing a lot to improve their homes. The real estate market in general seems to be booming, and it's very much a seller's market. We hear a lot about people listing their homes and then getting offers that are well above the price that they're asking for it. What do you think that means? And for investors, I mean, for people who have homes that they are thinking about selling, are you recommending? Do you get into those kinds of conversations with your clients about what they might want to do when it comes to housing?
Yes, Tom, we do have those conversations. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's a real estate agent a couple of weeks ago, and we were having this exact conversation about the market. And what he was telling me, you know, there are a couple of factors going on. One, you know, supply is very low. So when supply is low, demand is high, you know, prices tend to go up, and that's what we're seeing in the real estate market. Also, we've got still historically low interest rates. They've creeped up a little bit, but they're still at low levels. And I was asking the agent, you know, what's one of the reasons for this low supply in the market? And he was saying a lot of that stems from the moratorium on foreclosures, that, you know, banks are not able to foreclose. So those homes that would generally be in the market aren't there. So people are, one of the good things, people are able to hold on to those homes. But on the side of, you know, generally, if we weren't in these times, they would be out on the market. So that's one of the reasons for this shortage in housing right now. You know, it varies as far as what clients should do. We have clients who are taking advantage of it and who are selling their homes and transitioning to somewhere else. But the issue is, when you do sell your home, where are you going to go? And what price are you going to pay for that new home? So that's a conversation we're having a lot with clients.
Yeah, because sellers, you know, in that situation become buyers as well. So then they've got the same problem that all the other buyers do when it comes to available inventory, et cetera. And Leah Abrams, there are, I mean, we have reports like from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau saying that savings rates in general in America up 20%. Some are calling it the highest level of savings since the Second World War. But there are people who are in very difficult financial situations now because of the pandemic. So many people did lose their jobs. So many people, you know, had unexpected income interruptions. If a person, for example, has fallen behind on her mortgage, what's your advice to them? Or if they've fallen behind on taxes they might owe? When you have conversations with your clients, Leah, about those kinds of situations, what do you advise as at least initial steps in those situations?
Well, initial steps, if a client is not able to meet their obligations as they become due, the first thing is to really, with the relationship with the client, is to first have them breathe, because, you know, most people don't want to be in a situation where they're faulty in their obligations. So as far as if they can't pay their mortgage, the biggest thing I say is that you need to have a conversation with those vendors. Make sure that you are communicating to them what you can do. So if that means, you know, for my mortgage, I talk to the mortgage company, and if I can't pay $800, you know, a month, then can I at least pay $400. And some of those mortgage companies and some of those companies were, at least during 2020, were allowing you to defer those payments to some degree. Of course, the deferment means it's still the interest still accumulates, but at least you're having the conversation so that when you are back on your feet, you can do what you can do. And as far as if you have tax liabilities that you can't pay, well, there was a portion, a period of time where the IRS was giving what's called the first People's First Initiative. And they were giving initiatives where they were allowing the individuals to not have to pay their liens at that time. It was a stay, right? No one had to pay. So there was a period of time where they didn't have to. And then so if when that time period comes, when the IRS is asking for the payment, again, the best thing to do is have the conversation with the IRS. A lot of people don't like to call, but if you get a letter saying you have a payment that's due, believe me, if you call that number, somebody's going to answer because they want their payment. It may take a long time, but you have to call. And to have that conversation, they at least want to know that you are acknowledging them. And if you take the small payments as you go, and then when you're able to make larger payments, then you can make the larger payments at that time. But at least do an installment agreement and at least make an installment payment to your mortgage company or whomever your vendor is in order to have a good faith. That's what I always say. Have a good faith payment. May have good faith payments so that at least they know that you're willing to make an agreement and compromise.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice because I do think that mortgage companies and the IRS are looking to get the matter resolved. And I would assume that a mortgage company would much rather, you know, get partial payment for a little while until folks get back on their feet rather than have to go through a foreclosure process and that kind of stuff. And the same thing with the IRS. I mean, we hear about different payment plans that the IRS is very willing to enter into so that people can, you know, eventually pay what they owe. Leah Abrams is a CPA with L. Abrams and Company. Nicholas Abrams is a CFP with AJW Financial Partners. That's all very acronymish, but this means Nick Abrams is a certified financial planner who has his company here in Baltimore. Leah Abrams is a certified public accountant with her own company as well. We'll have more of Midday on Personal Finance with the Abramses after a quick break. Our number here on Midday, if you have a question, a comment, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @MiddayWYPR. You can follow me on Twitter at @TomHallWYPR. And before we go to a break, this note about an event tomorrow night that's being sponsored by Baltimore Renters United. They strenuously oppose a bill that was passed by the Baltimore City Council that would create alternatives to security deposits for renters. They are screening a film tomorrow night about Rhino, that's a surety bond company that lobbied the council to pass the bill. The screening is in Waverly, outside, next to where the 32nd Street Farmers Market is held. They'll show the film and hold a town hall about this controversial measure. Mayor Brandon Scott has not yet said whether or not he will veto the bill or sign it. He has until Monday to decide before it becomes law without his signature. The bill passed 12-2 on the city council. It's unclear whether or not advocates for the bill, which include Councilwoman Sharon Green Middleton and City Council President Nick Mosby, have enough votes to override a mayoral veto. The Baltimore Renters United event starts at 7:30 tomorrow night. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
Hi, I'm Al Waller.
I'm Catherine Collinson.
And I'm Hala Vince.
In the coming episodes of Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life, we'll be sharing 5 advantages of health savings accounts and also some key findings from a new report on the rapidly evolving workplace. You can find the Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life podcast on WYPR's website and mobile app, wherever you get your podcasts, and at transamericainstitute.org.
Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's Midday with the Mayor. Mayor Rick Meehan of Ocean City joins me to talk about what's up down the ocean, as we say, as his city prepares for summer crowds that will greatly exceed last year's. At least we assume they will. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick will review a new play at the Motorhouse by Rapid Lemon Productions called Serious Adverse Effects. So that's coming up tomorrow here on Midday. If you've just joined us today, it's Midday on Personal Finance. My guests are Leah Abrams, a CPA who heads L. Abrams & Company, and Nicholas Abrams. He's a certified financial planner and the founder of AJW Financial Partners. To join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWIPR. And by the way, we called Aunt Google during the break and found that the deadline for filing Maryland taxes is actually July 15th, which I believe it was last year as well. So July 15th for your Maryland return, May 17th, which is next Monday, for your federal return. So, Nick Abrams, you mentioned that the stock market, did bounce back after getting pretty low in March of 2020. I read that it's up 9.3% in just the first 100 days of the Biden presidency. Now, I think it's a foolhardy endeavor to credit any president with the market going up or down or sideways. But what are the ramifications for the folks you're working with? I mean, is this a bubble of the fact that the stock market has gone up so much in the last 12 or 13 months? Are stocks too expensive now? I mean, what advice are you giving the folks you're working with?
Well, Tom, I always hesitate to use the word bubble, but I will say, there's a lot of excitement around the market right now. And there's several reasons. One, we have been on this upward ride for the last, oh my goodness, probably the last 12 years or so, where we haven't seen a major long-term correction in the market. Really going back to 2009, when we hit that bottom with the Great Recession, we've been generally going up and riding high. A few hiccups here and there, but still generally doing well in the market. What I tell people all the time, when you're looking at investing, you want to have a plan in place. And you want to talk to a professional, especially with what we call, your serious money or your serious goals. So that's retirement. That's usually number one goal for most people. But then college planning and saving for other projects. You want to be very thoughtful. You want to plan, and you want to have a steady course of action. And then I tell people, what we call the fun money or the money that you would take to Vegas and don't mind losing. That's what you can do with some of the exotic, some of the stuff that you hear about, that's going kind of crazy through the roof right now. But generally, what I always tell clients is, we've got a plan in place. You want to stick with that plan. You don't want to jump on the trends, because that's when you can get hurt, because sometimes those trends don't work out and then you're off the mark with your goals.
Yep. Diversify, right? Don't put all the eggs in one basket, as the saying goes, right? And Leah Abrams, how about the tax code? You're here in 2021. Any changes from last year or over the last several years that folks got to be careful about when they file their returns? Anything that your clients are able to take advantage of, or things that you're cautioning them to be very careful about?
The one thing that I wanted to make sure that I've been trying to tell my clients to, what they didn't do last year was, if you was able to not itemize your deductions and you only had the standard deduction, then the charitable donations that you were giving to whomever you deemed a nonprofit organization or religious body, you weren't really able to deduct it. So this year they've allowed for at least a maximum of $300 on your tax return to be a deduction. So that's a good thing, because before you would just get the standard deduction. So now you get the standard plus the $300. The other thing is that they're now, well, for this year, in the beginning of the tax year, unemployment was taxed fully. Now it's changed throughout this tax season. Now the $10,200 is now tax-free. So that's a good thing, because I had quite a few clients that had done their taxes, and they actually owed because of that. So I definitely try to let them know that. I also let them know about the recovery rebate credit, which is if you did not receive your stimulus payments in 2020 and the first and second one, the one in 2020 and the earlier one in 2021, then there's a calculation on the tax return that identifies if you did not receive it, then you will receive the remaining amount that you would have received up to the full payment, or the full payment if you didn't receive it, in the credit rebate. So basically dollar for dollar tax liability. And you would either get a refund, or your liability will be reduced by the credit. Yeah. So I let them know about that so that they can, so they know it's coming.
Yeah, that's significant, those changes. That's really great. And I appreciate that advice. So with the charitable contributions, again, just to recap, it is a good idea to keep track of them, you know, to have records and have receipts of what you've donated to charities, because now you can add $300 towards a deduction in addition to the standard deduction. The unemployment benefits, again, you're right, it seems to have changed hourly over the last several months,
right.
You know, ultimately they are not going to be taxed. And then you've got this stimulus provision that you just mentioned. So that's great to keep in mind. That's Leah Abrams. She's a CPA. Her husband, Nick Abrams, is here as well. He is a certified financial planner. It's Midday on Personal Finance. Our number here, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. If you have a question for Nick or Leah about taxes, about money management, about investing, our Twitter handle @MiddayWYPR. So, Nick, the economic outlook, there are a number of people who are pretty bullish in the market, I suppose, and just in general, because coronavirus does appear to be, you know, attenuating pretty significantly, more and more people vaccinated, more and more businesses reopening. What's your take on the economic outlook for the rest of this year and moving forward? And is this, a good time to invest in certain kinds of companies and certain kinds of areas?
So, you know, I've been listening and reading just like everybody else, been on several conference calls with different economists. And you're right. The sentiment is that we will be that the economy is going to be very bullish, and we are going to continue this upswing through 2021 and even into 2022 and beyond. Part of the reasons for that is that pent up demand that we talked about earlier, but also the fact that there's been a lot of stimulus money pumped into the economy that's starting to, things are picking back up at a rapid pace. So we're predicting the U.S. economy to continue to grow and be strong throughout this year, barring, of course, nothing, out of the ordinary happens that we can't, predict or handle. But if all things being equal, we should have a good year this year. I will say, I do want to tell people to kind of temper their expectations of the stock market. Last year, as you talked about at the beginning, we had that boom from March to March. As we talk to clients, we always tell them, that's not something that happens every year. So, you want to have expectations more in line. But we still should see growth and continued growth in the economy for the next year or two.
Let's go to the phones to Connie, who's calling from Parkville. Connie, I believe you have a question for Leah. What's your question? Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was just wondering if there's anything that can be done with my taxes about missed unemployment benefits, because I tried to file and...
Looks like we've lost Connie there for a second. But Leah, if I understand the gist of Connie's question, she's wondering about unemployment benefits that she didn't get, that she missed, because she, like many other people, couldn't access and get the benefits. The channels were so congested during the pandemic. You know, we heard stories about people online waiting on the phone for hours and hours, and they couldn't get through to claim the benefits. Is there any tax implication if that's someone's situation, Leah? What do you think?
Well, if you didn't receive the benefits, there would be no tax implication. But if they rightfully deserve those benefits, I definitely would reach out to the unemployment office. It's less demand right now. Less demand meaning less demand as what happened in 2020. But there's more people that are getting back to work. But you still should reach out to get the your funding. But no, there's no tax implications if you never receive the funding at all.
But if they owe you, they owe you, right? So you can still get this retroactively.
Yes, you can. I would absolutely go and try, because the employers will have, they have to go against the employer that they were working at. So they absolutely can get the benefit for them if they were supposed to. So they should try.
And Nick, here's a question from Ronnie, who sends us an email, who says, "No one in my youth ever taught me about money and savings and credit. I'm 32 and I've learned a bit on my own. I now have two credit cards that I pay on time and keep close to zero balance. I raised my credit score from the 500s to the high 700s. I have an employee match simple IRA. I earn under $50,000 a year, and even though I've made progress, I just can't get ahead. I watch siblings, friends, and coworkers buying new cars and even buying homes, while I just seem to spin my financial tires in the mud. So I know some of these people aren't making that much more than me, but it feels like there is some money secret that I'm just not privy to as I watch others progress and myself stand still." So Ronnie says, "My immediate goal is to buy a car under $20,000. Do I need a career change? Do I move back in with my parents to save? What am I missing?" How would you advise Ronnie?
So Ronnie, I would say, first of all, what you said in the beginning is what we hear a lot, that financial education is something that we just do not teach like we should in this country. And I really wish it. I know some counties here in Maryland are starting to offer it in high schools, but it is something that we do need to teach our students. It should be something mandatory starting in high school and even going up into the college ranks. You know, what I will say, Ronnie, is be careful falling into that trap of seeing what your friends are doing, because you really don't know the circumstances behind what they are doing or what they are buying. They might be overextending themselves in debt to get these new cars and the houses. It might be one paycheck away from losing them. It sounds like you're doing the right thing. You know, you're saving money. You don't have debt. And so you want to really, at this point in time, I would suggest, you know, reach out to a professional and come up with a financial plan. Look at where you're putting your money at and make sure you're putting it in the right place. You know, if you want to go out and buy a car, you know, look at your budget and have a realistic picture about how much you can afford to pay, not just for the car payment, but also the maintenance and repairs for that particular car as well, because any car at some point in time is going to need maintenance and repairs. And then go out and find, you know, a good reputable place to buy the car from, do your research. But I really think you're doing the right things. If you're looking to make more money, you know, definitely now is a good time to look at career changes and options. As unemployment numbers go down, you know, the job market is going to start to be wide open as more companies are opening back up. So that could be an option for you as well. But stick to your budget, stick to what you're doing. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, you're doing the right things. And don't worry about what your friends and family are doing. You need to do what's best for you.
Nicholas Abrams is a certified financial planner and the founder of AJW Financial Partners. Leah Abrams is a certified public accountant, the founder of L. Abrams and Company. We're going to take a quick break, and we will have more with Nick and Leah Abrams on the other side of that break. Our number here at Midday, 410-340-9585. 662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. Tweet us at @MiddayWYPR. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, we're talking taxes, investing, and money management today on this edition of Midday on Personal Finance. If you haven't filed your 2020 tax return, you still have some time. Because of the pandemic, the IRS extended the deadline this year to next Monday, May 17th. The state of Maryland has extended its deadline to July 15th. My guests today are Nicholas and Leah Abrams. Nick is the founder of AJW Financial Partners. Leah is a CPA and the founder of L. Abrams and Company. They're with us until the top of the hour to answer your questions. 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle @MiddayWYPR. So, Leah, we have a tweet from Gabriel who wants some clarification that the unemployment benefits that you mentioned, they won't be taxed for the state of Maryland only, or does that also include the federal government? Are the unemployment payments going to be taxed by the IRS or not?
The IRS is not taxing the unemployment up to $10,200. And if you've already filed your taxes already with it being the old way, meaning the IRS had taxed the unemployment, then the IRS will fix it. They don't want you to do an amendment. They want you to, they will go ahead and fix it on their back end, and then you'll just receive the reduction in the increase in tax refund or the reduction of the tax liability.
Okay, but they'll take care of that. You don't have to file a new return or an amended
return. Yes, they don't want you to do an amendment based on that. Yes, they will take care of it.
All right, let's go to the phones to Dan, who's on the line in Baltimore. Dan, welcome to Midday with Nick and Leah Abrams.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a teacher sitting in my car on break. I had a question about Roth IRA withdrawal. My understanding is that we can periodically and for some reason withdraw principal without penalty, and I did that a few years back. I took out $10,000, and what I would really like to be able to do is put that back into a Roth IRA account but not have it penalize my annual contribution. Is that something I'm allowed to do or no?
Unfortunately, no. So there are different caps on which you can contribute to a Roth IRA. So for going into this year, the max that you can put in if you are under 50 is $6,000. If you're over 50, there's an additional catch-up. So the max you can put in is $7,000. So, and you're correct, Daniel, if you took that money out, you took the principal out, that's tax-free. However, you can't put that full $10,000 back in to the Roth IRA.
And Leah, what about in terms of taxes for business owners who receive PPP loans under the CARES Act? Anything that they need to worry about in particular when it comes to filing taxes?
No. If the business owner received PPP funds and they had not yet received an approval for the funds being spent in the appropriate way, then technically those revenue funds basically are not revenue. There's a liability on the account, and the expenses that will be associated with that those funds are not expenses. So you can't account for them in your financials. Once you get the approval of the PPP loan that you've spent the funds in an appropriate way, then it's released from the liability to then the revenue account. And then of course the expenses will offset and basically be a zero effect to your financial statements, but it'll basically gross it up. So your revenue will include the PPP revenue, and then the expenses will be included as well. So if you didn't get the acceptance as of 2020, then you shouldn't be reporting that income, those PPP funds as income. And you shouldn't be reporting those expenses as deductions either. You want to wait till you have that approved.
All righty. And Nick, we have a question about retirement from Michelle, who sends us an email. When is the best time to downsize? Right before you retire or after you retire?
So, Michelle, that is a great question, and it really depends on the individual. And here's what I mean by that. There are some people who will downsize prior to retirement because it's something that they've always wanted to do. They have a big home. They no longer need the space. They don't want the hassle of it. So they'll do it before retirement to minimize their expenses going into retirement. On the other side of that, Tom, we've got some clients who will upgrade in retirement. Just because that's the lifestyle, they want something different, something better. So it's not a right or wrong answer. You know, what I always tell people is, you know, when we talk about these type of questions, it really depends on what the individual circumstance is, what's going on financially. And that's a great question, you know, Michelle, to sit down with your financial planner to talk to them about and walk through the pros and cons of.
And we have an email from Stephanie. Leah, this is for you, and it's about married filing separately. So filing your taxes, you're married, but you're filing separately. If one spouse itemizes the return, does the other have to do so as well, and why?
Yes, Stephanie. If one spouse it itemizes, the other spouse has to itemize, just for comparative purposes, because you're filing separately. So if you were filing jointly and you were itemizing, it would be the same. All the information would be pulled together. So one spouse has to show it as comparative. And so what the IRS always encourages, when I was in school, encourages you to file jointly, because it's really the best, basically for tax purposes, the best way to be able to present. Now, sometimes it's filing separately is in the best favor for each one, because let's just say one individual has a business that they have to pay quite a bit of taxes on, and the other spouse works full time and they don't want to have to pay that liability. So it can be in that favor for that other spouse who wants to get their refund. So yes, you do have to itemize. Yes, it's for that, the purposes of showing comparability for each spouse, each partner. So.
Leah Abrams and Nick Abrams are with us. We're answering questions about investing and money management and taxes. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWIPR. My handle is @TomHallWIPR. Let's go back to the phones. We have a caller from Baltimore, Lisa, who's on the line, who evidently works in Govins, wants to make a comment about financial literacy. Lisa, welcome to Midday with Nick and Leah Abrams.
Thank you very much, Tom, Mr. Abrams, Ms. Abrams. Thank you for putting yourselves out there about probably something that people don't like to talk about, which is their own personal finances. And so what we want to do here in Govins is, going back to what you said earlier on, Mr. Abrams, about learning your financial, how to do your finances. We believe here in Govins that you need to, as soon as you start earning money, you need to start understanding how that money works. So we're putting together, as a community, an online 4-module education, wealth and education package, basic financial education. So today I'm literally putting together a package on what is your credit, how to build your credit, simple stuff like that. We'd love you to be involved if you'd like to, but I think the most important thing for all of us is to not be ashamed of our money, not be ashamed of the power of our money. we have the ability to keep the wealth in our communities. And that's what we want to do here, and eventually buy a business as a community and keep that money flowing back from the community into the community.
Great. Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that call. And Nick Abrams, give us one or two tips about managing money. What are when you hear about money management, what does that entail? What does that mean? And for folks like our emailer earlier in the show who said, nobody ever told me about this stuff when I was growing up, what are some of the basics that people need to wrap their arms around to start?
So, Tom, one of the first things I tell people is you have to have your team in place. You know, nobody does anything successfully by themselves. And so that team should include, you know, a financial planner or investment advisor. It should include your CPA and also, you know, estate planning attorney in there as well. So your team should be working for your benefit. And when we talk about managing money, you know, and that's a term that's thrown out a lot, it's really sitting down and looking at what your goals are, because everything should be goal driven. You know, we all go to work for a reason. We all save money for a reason. So it becomes a little easier if you have some type of goal attached to it. So if it is to retire at age 60 and live a certain lifestyle, you know, your team, your financial planner, investment advisor, to sit down with you and say how much you need to put away each month to get to that goal. So you know, okay, this is a reason why I'm doing it. And that really becomes important because it really, once you are able to see that, you know, you want to have different milestones. So, you know, if you're starting this at age 40, for example, and you can say, okay, by 45, I'm going to have this much money put away for retirement. And then by 50, this much money. That's something tangible that you can really take a look at and track, and it helps motivate you to get to that goal. And if some people are really competitive, they like to exceed that goal. So that's what we talk about managing money, being able to take what you have coming in from your paycheck, have it going to the proper places, and being smart. You know, and we all make bad decisions with money. You know, I'll be transparent. There have been times in my life I've made bad decisions with money. So it's nothing to be ashamed of. But the point is to realize, okay, so yes, I've made some bad decisions, but now it's time to move past that and make the right decisions. And once again, having that right team in place, those people by your side to encourage you, is very important.
Let's try to sneak in another call if we can before we have to call it a day. Let's go to Margaret, who's on the line from Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is, I'm not sure for which person, but probably the tax person. There was something that was advised to us as employees that you could take money out of a 403 or 401k because of the pandemic without any tax penalty if you paid it back in 3 years. So my thought was when I did this that I didn't have to pay taxes on it, and in 3 years, if it was returned, or if it was not returned in 3 years, I would have to pay it then. But now I'm reading that I have to pay the taxes on it now, and then in 3 years, I have to file some kind of an amended return to get them back. Can you shed any light on this?
So there is a stimulus relief for retirement plans for you to withhold or to withdraw from the retirement plan. Now, what I saw on the IRS website was that they had limitations of a certain amount. And then that as far as paying it back, there was a time period where you could pay it back. This would be from a combination. So there was a time period of paying it back. Maybe it probably was 3 years, but it did not say on there that you had to start paying paying taxes on it currently, because as long as you're paying the loan, it's like a loan. So I would definitely talk with your employer on the HR payroll side to see why you're now seeing this information coming to you with regards to paying the taxes back, because there definitely was an extension on paying the funds back because they knew that they knew that, with meaning the IRS knew that people were still having difficulty paying their funds back. So I would definitely check that out. Okay. You should not be having tax liabilities.
All right. Well, Leah, that's all the time we have. I very much appreciate both of you being with us today. Leah Abrams, a CPA and the founder of L. Abrams and Company. Nicholas Abrams, a certified financial planner and the founder of AJW Financial Partners. Thanks to you both, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, the summer season is expected to be considerably more successful this year than last, so we're going to talk to the mayor of Ocean City. Rick Meehan will join me on Midday with the mayor, and Jay Wynn Russick will have a theater review as well. We'll see you then. Have a great day.
You're listening to your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.